We thank you indeed for this great message of your love, Lord God, for us, sinners as we are. Help us to understand it and to know how to communicate it to the glory of your name. Amen. In our church family, we talk quite a lot about Christian witness. And over the next 3 months, you and I will have many opportunities to witness for Christ. This week at the Three Witnesses drama production, if we're able to bring a friend, and it's worth coming even if you aren't able to. Next month at the Real Life Festival we've been thinking about, and what a really superb leaflet this is. I was visiting somebody yesterday, and not a Christian, and I showed him this, and immediately he said, "Oh, that looks interesting. I'd like to come along to that." And then, of course, there's December with all the Christmas services. Good natural openings for Christian witness are going to be with us in each of the next 3 months. Now, let me tell you something which may surprise you. Christian witness is mostly listening. The large majority of Christians I meet think Christian witness is all about us talking, all about our saying something about faith in Christ. And that's why we often shy away from it. We think we wouldn't know what to say. But the truth is, the best Christian witness is at least 60% listening, drawing other people out and listening. I heard a member of the church family witnessing for Christ. I overheard her doing this the other day, and she was superb. And most of the time, she was asking questions and listening. The conversation had somehow got round to strange goings-on in a particular family's house, and she asked the dad of the house, "What did you make of what was going on?" And then she listened as he spoke. He wasn't a churchgoer, but he had called in a clergyman because he and his wife were worried. So she asked him what happened then, and she listened as he answered. When he told her that the strange happenings had almost completely stopped, she asked him, "What does that make you think about Jesus Christ?" And she listened to his reply. Christian witness is not mainly, and certainly not at first, mainly talking. It is drawing out people in conversation and listening. But of course, there comes a time to talk. There comes a time to say what we have come to believe and why we believe it. Otherwise, it wouldn't be a genuine conversation, a two-way conversation. And also, we have good news to share. Good news about Jesus. But only after we've listened. So when it does come to be time for us to talk, what are we going to say? That's where some of us feel stumped. That's where some of us get nervous. So I'm going to ask you to take the card that you found on your seat and turn it over to the side with the four symbols. This card is to keep with you in your wallet or in your handbag and to help you to know what perhaps to say. If someone said to you, when you'd been drawing them out and listening to them for some time, if someone said to you, "What does it really mean to be a Christian?" Or if it was time for you to talk and you said, "Look, would you mind if I explained to you exactly what it means to be a committed Christian?" This card would give you the prompts on what to say. And I would say that Christianity at its heart is about four things. Three things to understand, which are shown in green and black and red. And one thing to do, which is shown in blue. And they're all there in one verse of the Bible, perhaps the most famous verse in the Bible, which is printed out on this card as well. God so loved the world that he gave his only Son so that everyone who believes in him may not perish, but have eternal life. In this sermon and three more sermons, I'm going to show you how to explain this card, how you might explain the heart of the Christian message. And I'll take one symbol and one part of the verse each time. And so today, the first thing to understand is that God loves us. God loves us and is offering us eternal life. That's how the verse begins, isn't it? You see it in green there. God so loved the world. Many people today think that God doesn't care about them, that they're too small for him to be interested in them. And that's not surprising when to many big companies or people, we're just a number. And the first thing we hear when we telephone is, your call may be recorded for training and quality purposes. But Christianity says God loves us. And if you doubt that, look at Jesus. He is God's Son. So like his Father that it's quite difficult to tell the two apart. And no one who met Jesus was in any doubt that Jesus loved him. Jesus shows us clearly God loves us. And the end of the verse, that's why it's also printed in green, the end of the verse says God is offering us eternal life. If we believe in Christ, we can have eternal life. It's printed in green because it's such a sign of God's love. You give the best Christmas or birthday presents to those you love most. And God says, I love you, and if only you'll believe in my Son Jesus, I'll give you the present of eternal life. So many people are unsure about what will happen to them beyond death. The Christian faith says we can be sure. God loves us and is offering us the certainty, if we believe in Christ, that we will have eternal life. We will have joy with him forever. And in fact, eternal life is not only for the future, it's for now. It's the different life, the life that's in touch with Jesus, which God in his love gives Christians now. That's the first thing to understand. God loves us and is offering us eternal life. Now we keep that up on the screen. And I'm going to do now just a little role play. So I'm going to ask Stuart up here. This is totally unrehearsed, as you'll probably quickly discover. I want you to imagine that Stuart is a friend of mine. That's not hard to imagine because he is. Have a seat, Stuart. I want you to imagine that Stuart is not a Christian. That isn't true. And I'd like you to imagine that Stuart and I have known each other, which we have for quite a long time. And from time to time, we've had a number of conversations about the Christian faith. And in fact, we have done today as well. Perhaps this is, after the end of the festival. And I've asked him what he made of the interview, and we've talked about that interview for a bit. And then I, I've asked him what he made of what Marcus Nodder said. And all the time, I've been asking him questions, and I've been listening as he's been speaking. Now you'll hear the tables are going to turn. The only thing we haven't rehearsed it, but I've given him, is his next line. And then we'll take it from there.
So, Andrew, we've been talking about God and Jesus and Christianity for quite a while.
Sure.
But what the thing is, well, what really is a Christian?
Well, what a great question to ask. I'm so glad you asked that. Do you know, funny enough, in our church, we've been given some little cards. I've got one here. I've got two here in my wallet, one for you, one for me. Let me give you that, because really this card has been produced to answer exactly that question. Okay. And you'll see at the bottom, in sort of multicolored, is one of the best known verses in the whole of the Bible. And it comes from one of the Gospels, where it says, as you can see, God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, so that everyone who believes in him may not perish but have eternal life. And really, in that one verse of the Bible, the whole of the answer to your question is encapsulated. So I'm really glad you asked it. And what these symbols are saying, which is sort of precy of that verse, is that for you to become a Christian, if that were ever to happen, and it would be wonderful if it did one day happen, but if it did, there are three things for you to understand and one thing for you to do. Okay? So let's take the first thing, which is in that green symbol. It says simply that God loves us. And that's how the verse begins. As you can see here, God so loved the world. Now, I don't know whether you have got to the stage where you believe that God does love you, or whether that's too big a thing for you.
Well, I think he does, and you know, our conversations have been like that, and this verse says that. How do we really know it?
Well, it's a great place to have got to, and that's a good question also in itself. How do we know it? Because I think in this day and age, people often find it difficult to believe that God loves us, because we seem so small, and if he exists, he's so big. I mean, you're probably not old enough to remember this, but I remember times when you would ring up, say, the hardware store or the electrician, and you might have a conversation together before you got on to ask whether they'd got the screws you were looking for or the extension lead you were wanting. But nowadays, when you ring up a big company, you don't even get a human voice. You get some automated voice telling you that your call's going to be recorded for quality and training purposes, and if you want something, you know, press 1, and if you want something else, press 2. And you just feel they're not really interested in me. And so I think people have come to believe that God's so big, he can't be interested in Stuart Keane, he can't be interested in Andrew Corns. Mm. But if you look at the person of Jesus, and Jesus was so like, Jesus the Son of God, so like his Father, that they were two peas in a pod. You really couldn't tell the two almost apart. When people met Jesus, the one thing they absolutely knew was that here was somebody who loved them. And so you ask the question, how can I know that God loves us? One answer to that is, look at Jesus. He shows us that God loves us. But there is another way, and it's down here at the bottom, which is why it's printed again in green, because it's a sign of God's love. And that is that he offers us eternal life. It says that if we believe, that's the one condition, we'll come back to that, we can have eternal life. Now, I don't know what you believe about what happens after death. You got any thoughts on that?
Well, I don't think my mind is completely made up, but, you know, I can't really think that we just stop. It doesn't seem possible that we just stop. So maybe there is. eternal life.
And what? I think a lot of people are in your position, that they think it that can't quite be the end, but they're not maybe sure. And certainly they're not sure whether they're going to have eternal life. I was talking this week, actually, to a lady in her 80s, and it happened to get round to this subject, and I asked her what she thought, and she said, I don't like to think about it. And I thought, that is really sad, because the one thing at 80 you're absolutely certain about, actually the one thing you're certain about, is one day we're going to die. And when you, by the time you're 80, it's probably not going to be all that far away. The biggest thing that's going to happen, and she just said, I don't want to think about it. And what God says is that actually Stuart Keen and Andrew Coombs can have eternal life and know that you will have eternal life. Christmas is coming soon, and I guess you're getting lots of presents for different people, but I suspect that the best present that you give will be to Caroline and to your two children.
Yeah, absolutely.
Would that be right?
Yeah.
I'm fairly stingy in my presents for other people, but for Catherine and my children, they're going to get quite decent presents. And why? Because I love them. Mm. So one of the signs that God really loves us is that he's promised us that if we only put our trust in Jesus, he'll give us eternal life. And we can be certain of that because he loves us and he's promised it to us. Does that make sense?
It does. Yeah.
And actually, eternal life is not just something for the future, it's something for now. So you and I know each other, but I think you know one or two other committed Christians as well, don't you?
Yeah, I know a few. Yeah.
And have you noticed something just a little different about them from other people?
Yeah, they're sort of like contented or calm or happy in some way that other people aren't.
Sure. Yeah. Yeah. But you know, that is what Jesus calls eternal life. It's not just for the future. It's actually the life of God, the life of Jesus himself in a Christian now. Mm-hmm. So God loves us so much that we can have eternal life now and then have it even more fully in the future. That's the first thing to understand to become a Christian. Okay. Do you think you can understand that and even accept that?
Yeah, I think I could.
Well, that's just the first symbol. We'll come back to others later on. Of course, if we had this kind of conversation, and I've had it many times, there might be issues and difficulties along the way that we have to face and deal with. But this outline gives some guidance as to the way that we're going. And it might be that we'd have to stop and talk about questions that come up before we could lead on to the next one. Next week, we'll be looking at the second symbol. I may choose a different victim to be my guinea pig, and I'd ask you to bring this along next time so that we can look at the second symbol, we're in trouble. Meanwhile, thank you, Stuart. Let me pray that you'll have the opportunity, and I'll have the opportunity this week to talk to someone about that. We're not finished yet. We'll come in a moment to what we'll do from here. But here's the prayer. Father, help us this week to have someone we can talk to about you and show them how much you love them and explain that to them. Amen. Well, here's how you're all going to get involved, because I'm going to ask you now to turn to someone. If you come with a friend, perhaps that friend, if you come with your husband or wife, perhaps that person. It might be better still, actually, to be with someone you're not quite that close to. One of you is to be the person who is not a Christian. I'll leave you to decide who that's going to be. The other of you is going to be the Christian. Now, the non-Christian, you want to be someone who's quite interested. So don't say the first answer, I don't believe in God in the first place, because that'll scupper the whole thing right away, okay? I want you to start exactly where Stuart started and just say, look, we've been talking for some time, but I just don't get it. How exactly can I become a Christian? And the other person, using this card, not necessarily using the way I said it, do it the way you would want to do it, but you explain just the first symbol and the first point. God loves us. You may have to move a little bit to be with someone, but let's get into prayers. One of you a non-Christian, one of you a Christian. Take it away from there.